Jessica Kelly is our technology correspondent and she's with us in studio. Jess, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Roaming charges.
Yes. This has been the longest walk up to a story I think I can ever remember. So we've been talking about this story, I think, since about 2012. That's when they started to address the issue of roaming charges.
The European Union, it's so slow.
It's a bit slow.
You'd nearly want to leave, wouldn't you? No, that's Britain.
That's the thing we don't joke about. So finally, this Thursday, roaming charges will be no more. So if you're going on Jolly Bob's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or any time after that, you will not have to pay charges for using your calls and texts. If you have, say, you know, 100 texts and 100 minutes in your monthly plan, you can use them up and you won't pay any more charges.
Cost me $2.99 per day last week in Spain.
It's a bit niggly, isn't it? Like, it's kind of, you've no other option but to pay it, because you know you don't want to turn your phone off. Now, that being said, I went to Australia in February, and when I was there I bought a local SIM because it was just bonkers money. So if you're going outside of the EU, I would still suggest you buy a local SIM, get your phone unlocked. We have a guide on how to do that up on newstalk.com, but get your phone unlocked, put a local SIM in, and then you're grand. But for those sticking around the EU for holidays this summer and thereafter as well, you can roam like home unless you have a all-you-can-eat data type thing here at home. So, for example, if you're a Three customer and you're paying £20 a month, you have all-you-can-eat data at home. That means, you know, you can use whatever amount you want. It's capped at 60 gigs here. But when you go abroad, that'll be 5 gigs. So you are a little bit restricted, but I actually don't think that's bad. I mean, if you're on holidays...
Well, hang on a second. And this is where I have a little bit of an issue with this. You tell everyone you can do exactly the same things as you do at home, but there are data limits. And data is the new call roaming. Because you, let's face it, we don't use the phone to make phone calls anymore. And we very rarely send text messages. It's WhatsApp, it's Facebook posts, it's whatever. So therefore, they're kind of sneaky insofar as, yeah, you can roam... You can roam, but be careful because the data limits start going up. I know they'll cap the costs and they'll tell you when you're running out, but it ain't like home.
It's not like home, and absolutely it's not like home. But for the most part, you know, 5 gigs of data is a lot. Now, what they're saying is that it's down to fair usage, because if you are going abroad, like the networks, I forgot the word network there, the networks are losing money on this new roaming policy. There's no denying that. That's why certain networks have increased the price of their bills. So I think capping it is kind of, it's fair enough. They're working at bringing down the charges. So at the moment, say if you are that Three customer I referred to a few minutes ago, and if you go over your 5 gigs of data, you're paying almost a tenner per gig that you go over. So they're going to bring those costs down over time. But I think they have to work this out, that they still have, the networks can't be losing money at that rate, because something has to give.
But hang on a second, a lot of networks do, some networks are really good with data over here, other networks are not so good with data.
No, they're not.
And you have to, all of a sudden, if you watch a movie or you watch Netflix, your data's gone.
Yeah.
And you have to do top up. So it's, data is the big issue.
It is, it's an absolute, but this is the million dollar question. This is what networks now, if you are working in Vodafone 3 or any of the networks in Ireland at the moment, or across Europe, this is what you're trying to work out. You're trying to figure out, how can I charge for something that...
Yeah, they have to make the money somewhere, and the money's been made on that.
There's also an EU initiative to have Wi-Fi in all major towns and cities by 2020 as well. So, you know, hopefully if you are going abroad and you don't want to use your data, you can still use public Wi-Fi where available, but also you can download things, like you can download a lot of content on Netflix now, so you can make that available offline.
My phone is full, I can't be downloading anything onto it. It's going to burst if I put another text message into it.
A text message.
So it is. Grandfather speaking here. Anyway, speaking of phones that are not full, you've three phones in front of me here that are Sony's.
Yes.
I'm touching them, but nothing is happening. Why is that?
Because you haven't unlocked them, Jonathan.
How do I unlock a Sony phone?
So, side button. So basically, while Jonathan plays with the phones, I'll keep talking because we are on radio. So we have three phones here. And
that's how it works.
That's how radio works. Yes, love.
I'm pressing the button on the side, but nothing is happening. How do I unlock it?
Okay, I'm going to keep talking. So we have three phones in front of us from Sony, and I've come to call them the Goldilocks phones, right? Because we have the premium model, which is the Xperia XZ. We have the middle model, which is the Xperia XA1. And then we have the lower tier model, which is the Xperia L1. There's a lot of letters and a lot of names there.
They're kind of saying they're just smaller than each other.
Yeah, so basically there's the bigger version, the premium version is too big in my opinion.
This one won't come on.
Oh, This is like being on the toy show, isn't it, really? It's just painful. Anyway, so I'm, again, going to keep talking. So the bigger one is 699, right? This is their premium model that is going up against the likes of the iPhone and Samsung's Galaxy S8.
Have you been pawing this to death? I've never seen as dirty a phone in my life as this one.
Do you know what? That is my number one bugbear with the Xperia XZ Premium, right? It is a gorgeous looking phone out of the box. And then I picked it up and I was kind of messing around with it. And within about a minute and a half, it looked like my two-year-old niece had been eating a lollipop and then just pawed it. And I was using this phone for about a week, and I have to say, I did not enjoy it purely because of the fingerprint situation. No matter how clean your hands are, it's like a fingerprint magnet. Every time you pick it up, you're leaving little paw prints. And I spent about 90% of my review time just wiping it off my jeans, trying to get the fingerprints off. It's a gorgeous phone until you pick it up, which is very frustrating.
So how much is the big one?
The big one is 700 quid if you buy it outright.
That's pricey enough.
It is very pricey. And don't get me wrong, it's a good phone. You know, it ticks all of the boxes. It has a big battery, a 3200 milliamp battery. It's a 64 gigabytes of storage built in. There's a 4 gigs of RAM, very fast processor. It ticks a lot of boxes.
It doesn't look, and again, I am a complete Appleophile, if I can call myself that.
Yeah.
It looks as if it would break quite easily.
It
curves on it. It doesn't look sturdy.
It's also made of glass. So it's, again, you know, if it's a piece of art, fine, absolutely fine. But when I was using it, I was afraid to use it. I was afraid to put it in my back pocket, which is where my phone always is, because I was convinced I was going to smash it. And although it has all of the spec and the camera is stunning, I did not enjoy using this phone.
So that's the big one. The middle one seems a little more sturdy because it's got plasticky back.
Yeah, so that one you have there, that's actually my favourite of the three, and you'll be delighted to know that it's the cheapest of the three.
How much is this
one? So this is the Xperia L1, and it ranges in price depending on where you're going, between 200 and 240 euro. So this is a mid-range phone, and I loved using this phone. Like you said, it's like a matte plastic finish on the back of the phone, so you don't have that fingerprint issue. There's a grand enough processor, 1.45 gigahertz processor, 2 gigs of RAM. So again, if you're looking for a phone to do calls, texts, emails, bit of Netflix, and a really good camera, there's a 13 megapixel camera on the back and a 5 megapixel camera on the front. This phone is just a joy to use. I absolutely loved it.
And how long is the battery on that one?
The battery actually is incredible for the size of the screen. So it's a 5.5 inch screen and it has a 2620 milliamp battery, which is, you know, it's pretty good going for a phone that has, you know, just a mid-level processor and all the rest. I think I've gotten a day and a half out of that now. I wasn't using it as intensely because it's been a busy few days. But it's a, I have to say, I've been so impressed. There's no real phone in the middle at the moment that has impressed me as much as that Sony. So that's the Sony Xperia L1.
And the little baby one that you neglected to charge, which is why I can't turn it on. So I can't give my intense review that I've given to the other two phones. What's wrong with this one?
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it except that it's 279. So, you know, I found it a little bit awkward to use. It's a very narrow phone. It's a 5-inch screen. The camera is incredible. 23 megapixel camera, 8 megapixel front camera. So if cameras are important, that's the way to go. 2300 milliamp battery, so it did well. But just having used the three of them, you know, as I said, Goldilocks. One is too big, one is too small, one is just right. And it happens that the one that is just right is the cheapest of all three.
And is this range, is this Sony's attempt now to go, we are big players, these are the best phones that we can offer?
I don't think so. I think what's happening is Sony is grappling a little bit, because for such a long time, Sony were, you know, key players in the phone market. Then Samsung came along and blew everyone out of the water. Apple is Apple.
Yeah, their phones went on fire. Did these phones go on fire?
Exactly, they blew everyone out of the water.
Yeah, okay.
No. Look, Apple is Apple, so they're kind of untouchable. Samsung are dominating in a lot of spaces. Sony is trying to find where it's best placed in the market. I think they are best when it comes to doing the mid-range phone that has incredible spec for an affordable price and is comfortable to use. It may sound stupid me talking about, you know, something being enjoyable or not enjoyable to use, but think about how much you use your phone. You don't want something that's a pain in the face, to quote Emer Bradley. You don't want something that you don't enjoy using. And I have to say, the Sony L1 is the phone that I enjoyed using the most. And I would be quite a heavy user. So that would be my recommendation out of the three of them.
Okay, so that's it. Don't bother with the fancy glass one. It's too expensive. The middle one, go with the cheapest one.
Exactly.
Cheapest one's the winner. Just some questions coming in about roaming. Silly question. There's no such thing as a silly question. Is the data limit of 5 gigabytes per month? I presume it is.
Yeah, so that's the way it works. So again, it's kind of based on your billing cycle, I suppose. The thing to note, though, is that if you're going abroad for more than, I think it's 2 months, you need to let your network know, because again, that goes under the fair usage policy. So say, for example, if you're going interrailing or whatever it may be, and you're gone for 2 or 3 months, you may have to... you need to talk to your network, basically, or else, again, buy a local SIM card.
This whole roaming deal is, it's an EU thing. It's the European Union, right? What happens when Brexit happens? When they leave and people who are living in the border...
Yeah.
That's a whole different area of chaos that we're going to have to deal with, isn't it?
You know, that was the first phone call I put in the day after the Brexit vote, after I bought a few things on eBay because it was great value getting the advantage of the sterling. I put the call into the different networks, and no network would kind of confirm anything in terms of what the EU or what the UK policy will be. They're still working it out, as far as I can tell. It would be bonkers and very bad for business if, you know, the roaming rates were to kind of not apply, if the roaming rules were not to apply to the UK. But it's one of those things where only time will tell, unfortunately.
What was the name of the Sony phone with the brilliant camera?
Oh, all three have brilliant cameras. The best one that's affordable, I suppose, is the XA1. Sorry, I'll say that again. The Xperia XA1. It's 279 and it has a 23 megapixel camera on the back and 8 on the front.
Ridiculous prices for those phones, says a listener. Bought a 64 gigabit memory outright, 2 day battery, Xiaomi Chinese Android online for a third of those prices. We are being ripped off.
Yeah, no, some of the
I bet you everybody's really jealous of your Xiaomi phone.
Yeah. No, but you know what? There's a phone that I mentioned on the show before called the Elephone P900, I think it's called. And my boyfriend bought one at the same time I had the Samsung Galaxy S7. And his Elephone had pretty much the same spec, but was a fraction of the price.
I'd have an issue with a phone called an Elephone, though. Sounds like something I'd give my kids.
Yeah, well, they'd be delighted.
Ask Jess which dual SIM phone is the best.
Dual SIM in Ireland is a tricky one because I'm gladly be corrected on this, but I don't think you can buy a dual SIM phone in the shops. I know that some of the Huawei models you can buy online, but I'd be reluctant to recommend one because I haven't reviewed one. So if you want to drop me an email to patkenny@newstalk.com and I'll have a scout around online.
A lot of people do that when they have if they spend time flipping, they have dual phones. Now, they're normally crap.
They're normally the very crap.
Basic flip phones that, you know, only people who travel a lot are trying to have affairs use.
Yes.
So, you know, they're not great. You're not going to be surfing the web on them.
No. But the only thing is, if you were, say, travelling into the States or whatever like that, you may be able to buy a phone whilst there that has dual SIM capabilities.
Kieran on Twitter says, where is that info on unlocking a phone? I can't find it.
Newstalk.com/technology. I will also tweet it out from @PatKennyNT on Twitter in about 40 seconds time if you let me leave the
and
studio.
And these phones, that two of which work and one doesn't, the review of them will be up on the website a little later.
They're already there. newstalk.com/technology.
I'll have to read now to see what that third phone is like. I'll try not to drop them as I hand them back over. Jessica Kelly, Newstalk's technology correspondent. Thank you very much for joining us.